And the Bible says, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. And Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother's Absalom's sister. I'm going to stop right there because that's all we're going to cover for today anyway. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless us as we delve deep into your word. Father, I know we move a little slow, but I'd rather move slower, Lord God, and get everything that we have in your word, Lord God, than to just run over it, Lord God, and not get anything. So, Father, bless us. Bless us to put our mining caps on, to get our pickaxes, Lord God, our shovels, and help us to dig. And as we dig in your word, we pray you dig in our hearts and our consciences, God, that you would make cases of consciences against us, Lord, to show us how we fall short of your glory, not to condemnation, Lord God, but to conviction, to change. We want to be like you, Lord. The Bible says, be holy, for your God is holy. We know in that obedience, God, you're going to bless us. So fill us up with your spirit as we present and as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. All right, saints, we've observed how Amnon, amen, was in love or lusted after his own half-sister. And he could not do anything to Tamar, amen, because in biblical times, especially in the Old Testament, they watched their daughters and their sons pretty well. They kept them out of the company of people of the opposite gender. We talked about how we should better care for our kids, amen, and watch them, amen. And what we do at our house is there's rarely a time where there's any lapse of supervision over Grace, Annalise, and Omar. There always has to be an eye on them. There always has to be an eye. It's not about watching TV or going off and letting them be. There always has to be an eye on them, amen. Because the moment your eye is not on them, Satan's eye is on them. Amen. You got to have an eye on them. Amen. And I know it's kind of uncomfortable and it's kind of, you know, in your business and messing up your stuff. Amen. But it's the only way to keep them from the things that's going to destroy them. So we keep an eye on them. You see? And we don't let 16, 17-year-old, 15-year-olds keep an eye on them. We don't let 15, 16, 17-year-old little boys keep an eye on little girls. We don't let that happen. We give no place to the devil. We make no occasion to the flesh. Well, because of the safety mechanisms, amen, in the Old Testament, Amnon's lust for his sister was put in check. And it was pretty much over, at least for a moment. But the Bible says Amnon had a friend. So we talked about friends for a few weeks and talked about how evil communication corrupts good manners. We looked at the phrase, the son of Shimeah, and we talked about how Jonadab was envious of Amnon. He was jealous of him. And so we talked about envy. We saw last week, amen, that it was not only envy, but he was a subtle man, a wise man, but he was like Solomon in a way, but not like Solomon in a way, because Solomon was unselfish and he was selfish. So we talked about selfish ambition, the definition, the examples, and the remedies. Tonight, we just going to continue, man, just delving into the character of Jonadab. We just going to just continue to unpack it. Praying to God that in some kind of way he would convict us and show us ourselves. It's not a word for us to be looking around and criticizing other people. I'm praying that we can all see a piece of Jonadab in us. You know what I'm saying? Because as I was going over this, I'm talking about all of these are highly convicting messages. And this one is no different, you see? I saw something else in Jonadab. Amen. The title of this message is going to be The King's Son. Say that with me. The King's Son. And we'll be coming out of verse 4. We're going to have several points, and hopefully we can get through it tonight. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 13:4, and he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son? Lean from day to day. Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Remember, Jonadab was a very perceptive man, wise, discernment, could see things that other people can't see. And so he noticed that Amnon, his countenance was changed. And that's what the Bible says. He asked him, he said, listen, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? That word lean in the Hebrew means to be sad. Why are you unhappy? Why are you miserable? Why are you gloomy? Why are you melancholy? Why are you depressed, downcast, despondent, dispirited? Why are you low, Amnon? Why are you heavy or heavy-hearted? I'm looking at your face, and it's written all over your face. Why are you going through this? You see? Now, if that would have been the question, that would have been good if that would have been all the question. But he slipped in that phrase. He slipped in that phrase, and the phrase is the title of our message, and the phrase is what we're going to focus on. He just didn't ask him, why are you depressed? He said, why are you being the king's son? Lean, sad, depressed, unhappy. There's an intimation there. There's an allusion there. He's saying something, amen, without coming out and saying it. He's saying, why are you the king's son? Sad. Because if I was the king's son, I would never be sad. Why are you the king's son, heavy-hearted? Why are you depressed? Because I wish I was you. And if I was the king's son, I would never be depressed. There would never be a time where I would go without anything I wanted because I'm the king's son. You hear it there? Why are you the king's son? Sad. There should be no reason for you to be sad. You King David's son. You should have whatever you want. You should have whatever you want. Lawful, unlawful, legal, illegal. Oh, come on, somebody. I just stopped in my tracks when I saw the king's son. You see? What we need to know is that Jonadab was tempting Amnon. And he was tempting him to pride, y'all. We could have went up to him in heaven and said, don't you know who you are? What you sad for? You the king's son. And the particular temptation to pride that Jonadab uses on Amnon is what the Bible would call flattery. Somebody say flattery. We're going to talk about flattery tonight. We're going to talk about flattery tonight. We live in an age where flattery is all around us. Our political campaigns and political system is built upon it. Giving people compliments and telling people things that we're going to do that things that they never get to ever do. It's built on deception. As we turn on our TV, the commercials and everything that we see flatter us. Have it your way. You understand what I'm saying? Obey your thirst. It's all about you. It's all about you. You be happy. You see? Treating us like we the king's son. Treating us like we some kind of special and that the laws don't apply to us. God have mercy. It's not only on our TVs, not only in our campaigns. It's all over social media. It's all over the internet. This flattery makes us think that the world is ours and the world is all about us when it's not. Let's start off. Let me give you a definition of flattery. Let's get into it. And my hopes is through this message that, number one, we would realize that sometimes we flatter people. And number two, we would realize when we're being flattered. And that from that knowledge, we would stop flattering one another. And then secondly, we will stop fall for people flattering us. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm just telling you, this would be a thesis of the message. I'm just giving you what we're looking to do, what we're looking to accomplish. Let's talk about the definition. Flattery is an insincere compliment with ulterior motives. Flattery is an insincere compliment with ulterior motives. It's when I tell you something about yourself because I got another reason. I'm telling you this so I can get something from you. I'm telling you this so I can get you on my side. I'm telling you this, amen, so I can lift you up so you can like me. Now, it's not only a compliment, but a lot of times it's an insincere compliment. It's something that's not even true. Ooh, girl, I like your hair. You know you don't like that girl, huh? But you got an angle. You got an angle. You're trying to do something. You're trying to accomplish something. That, brother, girl, this is how the business world work. You know what I'm saying? This is how it work. You know? Flattery. It's insincere, y'all. It ain't real. And that insincere could be straight up false, or it could be a highly excessive exaggeration. Well, somebody got a good characteristic, but you blow it completely out the water. You the bestest, estest, bestest ever seen. You make it up words to say. Ain't nobody can dig a ditch like you. I ain't never saw. Insincere compliment with ulterior motives. And with that, y'all, we compliment the gifts, the talents, the education, the wealth, the looks, the list can go on. And we puff people up so we really can get what we want out of them. It's diabolical, man. Because if you didn't have what I wanted, I wouldn't be telling you that. Ooh, woo! Flattery. All right? Psalm 12:2, talk about it. You see? Psalm 12:2, they speak vanity, emptiness, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a what? A double heart. You know what a double heart is? See, the Bible talk about singleness of heart, that we should love each other with unfeigned love, with singleness of heart, serving one another. Singleness of heart is when you look at me, what you see is what you get. You see what I'm saying? When you see me, that's all that's in my heart. A double heart is, amen, you're going to see one side, but there's a whole nother side that you can't see, and that's what I'm really about. It's deception. And the flatterer has a double heart. Because you think they like you, you think they love you, you think they like they're your best fan. But like in the situation with Jonadab and Amnon, turn out to be your worst enemy. Somebody say flattery. It is the praise of another that's usually undeserved, exaggerated, insincere. The Hebrew word has the connotation of buttering somebody up. You know? It's being a smooth talker. David explains in Psalm 55:21 when he talks about Ahithophel, which happens to be, amen, Bathsheba's grandfather, as some commentators would say. The Bible says in Psalm 55:21, the words of his mouth was smoother than butter. That boy's smooth. Boy, talk the shoes off your feet. Leave home barefooted. Walk home barefooted. Smoother than butter. But while his mouth was smoother than butter, look what it says. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet were they drawn swords. You see? We have to be careful, saints, not to be flatterers. And we must realize that flattery is going on all around us. It's in the schools. It's at our jobs. It's in our families. And it's certainly in the church. Woo! And we got to watch for it. Now, come on, let me give you point number two. Point number two, just listen closely. There's a difference between flattery and encouragement. All right? I don't want you to think that every time you give somebody a compliment that you're flattering them. That's not the truth. And I don't want y'all to leave here not complimenting nobody. Y'all walking, I ain't telling him nothing. That's not what we're talking about. Remember, it's an insincere compliment. So if your compliment is true, then you're moving out of flattery. You see? If you don't have an ulterior motive, then it's not flattery. You see? And so it's okay to compliment people. In fact, we're going to get to a place right here in a second where the Bible encourages us to compliment people, to encourage people. And when we don't do that, amen, we really leave a void in our loved ones' lives that flatterers can come and fill. Oh, I might as well jump in it now. Because if you're not encouraging that husband, guess who's going to come encourage him? If you're not encouraging that wife, guess when she's walking down the aisle in Walmart, who's going to come encourage her? If you're not encouraging that daughter or that son, that little young man at school going to come, and guess who's going to encourage him and compliment him? You see, a lot of us, we don't encourage enough. We don't compliment enough. It's like pulling teeth for your parent, your daddy, just to tell you you look good, you play good, you do good. What is wrong with your man of God? What's wrong with your woman of God? You see, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can kill with it and tear down with it, or you can build up with it. And we got a lot of our kids, oh goodness, they condemn houses. They condemn houses. They houses in dereliction. They're them houses that you ride through the hood with the boarded windows and the messed up floors because ain't nobody spent no time building them up. Ain't told them nothing. Ain't told them they love them. Ain't told them nothing. The devil is a liar tonight. We're going to use our mouth to speak life. Come on, say it with me. I will. Speak life. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory, amen. That's the difference between flattery and encouragement, y'all. You see? Encouragement is good. It's good. How do you know it's good? Pastor, well, God encourages. As we read the letter in Revelations to the seven churches, it's full of encouragement. Before you even tell them anything that they did wrong, he encourages them. He encourages them. I know your works. I know that you can't bear with those that call themselves apostles but are not. You know? I know the persecution you're going through. So God is encouraging. In fact, when we meet him in heaven and we've done what we're supposed to do, guess what God going to look at some of us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few. Hey, God, I'm going to make you rule over much. You think God is not an encourager? The Bible calls him a wonderful counselor. He's an encourager. That's how I know encourager is not bad. Because, man, he encourages me all the time. When I open his Bible, he encourages me. He tell me I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a lender and not a borrower. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything that works out, it's going to work together for my good. That's an encouraging type of a God. Encouragement. Encouragement is not wrong. Encouragement is not flattery. It's not at all. In fact, God tells us in his word, amen, that he wants us to encourage one another. In Hebrews 7:25, amen, or rather 10:25, he commands us to. When he tells us, keep coming to church, he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. And as we grow older and as time progressive, we're going to see people, y'all, and I meet them every day, that just don't want to go to church no more. Don't want to go to church no more. You see? That's why y'all here on a Tuesday night is an anomaly. For you to want to be in church on Tuesday, that's an anomaly. That's an anomaly. You see what I'm saying? Because for a large portion of the rest of the body of Christ, they find it hard to show up on Sunday, let alone to get here on Tuesday. And God told us as the days would progress, we got to make sure not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We got to come together, man. And he tells us, as the man of some is, he says, but exhorting one another. That word exhort or exhortation is another word for encouragement. And he says, when we come together and it's rough out there, and it's hell out there, it's fire out there, it's temptation out there, it's persecution out there, don't forsake coming together. And when y'all come together, amen, he say, encourage one another. encourage one another. And he said, do it much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer it gets to his return, mean the more we should be encouraging each other. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can make it. You could be faithful. You could be a good worker. You could be a good Christian. You see, God is an encourager. He commands us to encourage one another. You see, and it's important for us to do it. Encourage your husband, encourage your wife, encourage your children. Children should encourage parents. When you see your parents doing a good job or doing the best that they can, it's all right to walk up to them sometime and say, look, I appreciate the living that you have made for us by the grace of Almighty God. I have a bed to sleep in. I have a house to sleep in. Amen. A little encouragement from some children wouldn't be bad. All right? So spouses encourage one another. Parents to children. Children to parents. Oh, look what we have here. People, encourage your pastors. It's all right to do that. It's all right to do that. The Bible says, esteem them highly for the work's sake. Give unto them double honor. It's okay. It's okay to walk out there and say, oh, pastor, hey, you spoke to me. I needed to hear that. I was going through. That confirmed my study. That made me want to get into it more. That's all right to say that. Now, it's up to me to go ahead and say, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You understand? That's up to me to do that, and that's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? But encouragement is all right. So listen, don't stop encouraging. But what we want you to do is stop flattering. A true compliment or sincere encouragement is to benefit or build up the recipient. So with your mouth, you are ministering and you're building up. You see, because sometimes we get broke down. And with your mouth, you can fix people up. Ooh, God. You can add some concrete. You can add some 2x4s. You can go ahead and drill some things that need to be drilled. You can put a little paint on the wall, a little sheetrock. You can renovate people with your words. That's encouragement. That's encouragement. That's when you give a true compliment. So encouragement builds up the recipient, all right? Flattery, on the other hand, does not build up the recipient, does not benefit the recipient. Flattery benefits the flatterer. And if you really think about it, as we shall see in the situation with Amnon and Jonadab, flattery don't build people up. It actually breaks them down. It destroys them because you tempt them to pride. And after pride comes shame. You see what I'm saying? You see? And so that's the difference. That's the difference. It's about your motivation. Do I want something from them? It's about whether it's true or not. And that's what differentiates flattery from sincere encouragement. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You said you're the king's son. You could do what you want. Number three. Flattery is used by your enemies. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People, you don't even know your enemies. Flattery is used by your enemies. Proverbs 29:5. A man that flattered his neighbor, guess what he's really doing? He's spreading a net for his feet. Trying to trap you. Trying to get you caught up when they flatter you. When they stroke your ego. Oh, you the bomb.com. You all that in a bag of chips. You a cherry Coke with ice in it. You, I like them bars behind. You an angel. You must have fell out of heaven. You an angel. God must be missing one of his cherubim. They can't even say it right. Cherubim. But the real intent is to spread a net for you, to get you caught up. Proverbs 26:38, a lying tongue hated those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. It's trying to destroy you. You see, because once people build you up artificially, you leave there with a big head. You can't even get out the door when they're done with you, boy. You gotta just hold on. Let me just. And the next place you go, amen, you all puffed up. And that's why you wind up fussing with the wife or fussing with the husband or, you know what I'm saying, can't do what you need to do at work or at church. And you got the big head. And it's working ruin in your life. Flattery is a tool that's used by a man's enemy to take him down, not build him up. This is Jonadab and Amnon. You know Jesus went through this? They had flatterers in Jesus' day. In Matthew 22:16, look at it. Jesus, amen, he's out there and they trying to trap him up. Look what the Bible says, 22:16. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might, what? Entangle him in his talk. Spread a net for his feet. And they sent out unto him their disciples, some spies, with the Herodians, and that's the Edomites. And they were saying, Master, why no? Well, let's see, Master, we know that thou art true. Now, you got to understand. Flattery is when they give you a title, yeah. Look what they say. They say master. So flattery, you got to watch out. When people begin to give you titles that you don't deserve or that you don't have, they begin to call you bishop, and you just got saved 5 minutes ago. You say, bishop? What is a bishop? And they start calling you things and putting titles on you that you don't have yet. Because flattery is in titles, you know? Now, a lot of times we clown around here with one another and stuff like that when we're not really trying to get nothing from each other, but you got some people that's trying to get something from you, and so they're going to put a title on you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, God. Start calling you deacon and minister and all it is. Oh, God, here you are not even baptized yet. That's flattery, you see. So they put a title on Jesus, Master. We know that thou art true. Stop right there. You see, because they're going to flatter your character too. Oh, you're such a good person. I never met somebody so faithful as you. Boy, you know something coming down the pipe. Boy, you like, what? Just wait on it. You so holy. And you see, they're insincere. They don't even believe in Christ. They don't even believe him. That's why they call him master and is insincere. They don't believe in him. They are the disciples of the Pharisees. We know that you're true. If you knew I was true, you'd be following me like the 12, the 7, and the 120. You're fronting. You got an ulterior motive. You see, master, we know that thou art true. You know, let's continue to break it down. And teach us the way of God in truth. That's another thing. They're going to talk about your gifts to flatter you. Or ain't nobody could dance like you. Ain't nobody can throw that right hook like you. Ooh, you knocked the spit out their mouth. Ain't nobody could do that like you. Answer a phone like you. Ain't nobody can teach like you. Girl, you braid hair like nobody can braid. You braid, French braid, French braid, English braid, Spanish braid. Bread, evangelism bread. You braid it. You braid hat. Whatever it is, they're going to find your gift. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you a little bit. Listen, when they start to throw what we call in the English language superlatives in there, that's when you can spot them. A superlative is the best, the most, the greatest. And they start dealing with you like that. You the best, you the greatest and all that. You know, all right? Watch yourself. So that's what they tell Jesus. They say, listen, thou teachest. Ain't nobody sing like you. Ooh, when you hit that note. And the funny thing about it is these folk, when you sing your worst is when they give you the most. I done taught some lessons, Miss Karen. It'd be my worst lesson. Be like, man, I'm going home study right now for Sunday. And they come there. Oh, it was the best lesson I ever heard. The glory fell. I couldn't sleep for 5 days after that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's when I teach my words. You know? So they're going to pump up your gifts. All right? Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. That's just to tempt the pride. That's just to make Jesus supposedly get the big head. You don't care about nobody person. And we're setting you up because we're going to come and we're going to say, tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute or pay taxes to Caesar? Now, you just made me the big head. You just told me I don't care about the person or the position or the status of another. And now you're going to set me up and you're going to talk about should I pay taxes to Caesar? And if I am going to receive your praise and your flattery and say that I don't receive the person of another, then I'm not going to care about Caesar. And I'm going to tell them in front of everybody, in front of the Herodians, don't pay your taxes. And then they're going to handcuff me before I finish my sentence, and they're going to crucify me before I finish my mission. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. You see? And so Jesus saw this. He saw the flattery. In verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness. And he said, why tempt ye me with pride? Just like Jonadab did to Ammon. Why are you tempting me with this pride, with this flattery? You ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You see? And that's when he do that famous thing. Who's on the face of this coin? And they say, Caesar. And he say, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God. Woo! You see, the problem with flattery is that these people are trying to, amen, raise us up high, but God is in the business of putting us low. All right? These people are in the business of inflating self when God is in the business of allowing us to die to self and deny self. They go in two different directions. These people are in the business of magnifying self and enlarging self and making self huge when God is in the business of minimizing ourselves and humbling ourselves and lowering ourselves, making ourselves, I'm nothing without you. You see? But I'm going to tell you, y'all all right? Y'all still up out there? Amen. All of our fallen natures love to be told some things about ourselves. Our fallen nature loves to be flattered. Oh, come on, don't you get bashful on me. We love to be told what we do is good. And that's the encouragement side. There ain't no problem with that, all right? But the problem lies in this. Our fallen nature wants to be told that we are more than what we are, all right? So we want to be told that we're more beautiful than what we really are. Girl, you look like, boy, you look like, you know you don't look like that. You look like Brad Pitt. You're a Negro from VZ. How in the world are you going to look like? You look like Denzel. But we eat that type of stuff up because we want to be more than what we actually are. And so they tell us, man, listen, you know, we want to be more holy than what we actually are. We want to be thought of more intelligent than we actually are. We want to be thought of as more athletic than we actually are. So we in the park trying to shake everybody and be like, boy, that boy is like Jordan, like D-Rose, like, come on, man. Really? Y'all laughing hard, yeah. Y'all laughing hard out there. All right. So it's dangerous, y'all. Come on. Let me keep going. Let me keep going. Flattery is used by false prophets. That's why we shouldn't do it. It's a sign of a false prophet. False prophets flatter people. It's the only way to get followers. It's the only way to pack churches and get people to follow them. It's the only way to get disciples is to flatter them, you know? And that's what false prophets do. And so we gotta stay away from that. In Romans 16, amen, 17, we can just read it fast. We know it. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, avoid those that cause division. But look at 18. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't serve the Lord. That's not real apostles, real disciples, real pastors, real preachers, real Christians. They do not serve the Lord. Who do they serve? They serve their own belly. They out for themselves. They out to eat. They out to go to church and pastor for a check. They won't preach for some money, for a car, for a house. You know what I'm saying? They won't drive, or what they say, I had a Bugatti, a Bentley, all that. The devil is a liar. That's what they would do if they was in my position. If they had a church this size, with the revenue that we have, they would be driving it. The same ones that talk the most, amen, they judging me by what's in their own heart. The Bible said to the defiled, all everything is defiled. So they defile, and if they had a multi-million dollar church, that's what they would be driving. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how they rolling. They don't serve the Lord. To me, to serve the Lord is enough for me. It don't even matter what I drive. To serve the Lord is, I just want to serve him. I just want to serve him. It don't even matter if I get paid. I just want to serve him. He said they serve their own belly. And he said with good words and fair speeches, here it is, they deceive the hearts of the simple. I love this. You could tell a false prophet, amen, because it's all going to be good words. In fair speeches. When they get up to preach or teach, listen, the NLT calls it smooth talk and glowing words. The ESV says by smooth talk, and look at our word, and flattery. You see, I never want to be a preacher that flatters you. I want you to come here and say, ooh, he got me today. He got me. You see? You go to some churches, man, and it's just about you being blessed. You being paid, health, wealth, amen, and you being the best that you could be. Listen, you go to church, and a lot of churches rarely about God right now. Rarely about God. I listen to some of them, and I try to count how many times they say Jesus in a sermon. You see? And they grow in churches by flattery, y'all. By flattery. You see? False prophets. There was one such in 1 Kings 22. When Ahab called for the prophets. Ahab was trying to figure out to go to war with Syria. And so he was like, man, Jehoshaphat told him, listen, we just not going to go to war. You got to call for some prophets or something, man. And so Ahab called for all the prophets, but all the prophets were false prophets. And all the prophets told Ahab exactly what he wanted to hear. Don't ever go to a church that tell you exactly what you want to hear. Don't ever do that. They're going to have to give you some things that you don't want. You're going to leave that mad sometime. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like him. But you liked me last week when I was on your husband, but you don't like me this week when I'm on you. I don't like him. That's when you know you done found the right place. Go ahead, become a member. Sign the roll. Because our job is to preach sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. Our job is to convict, reprove, rebuke, and also encourage every now and then. You see? But King Jehoshaphat said, man, listen, Jehoshaphat said in 22:7, he said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? All these boys saying the same thing. Prophesying nothing but good things, smooth things, peace, peace. Is there nobody with some fire and brimstone in their blood? That we might inquire of him? Verse 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah. Oh God, let it be one church in Lafayette, at least one in Lafayette, where they can say, we can't go no place else to be read. But let them say that. Let them say that. We know that there is one of them. And I will pray that there would be 5 of them, that there'd be 10 of them, that there'd be 20 of them, that there'd be 50 of them, that Lafayette would be full of them. That's our prayer. You see? Ahab says there is one, a man named Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But look what Ahab said about him. But I hate him. I hate him. I can't stand him. He's despicable. Why you hate him, Ahab? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me. Come on, give God some glory for that. That's how you know when you got something. That's how you know when you got something. You see, false prophets going to tell you what you want to hear, man. You know, nothing but health and wealth. And I'm going to preach about wealth sometimes and health sometimes because the Bible talk about it. But you ain't going to come every Sunday and hear about health and wealth. You know, flattering the pulpit is speech that is not used to speak truth, but speech that is used to produce a feeling. Flattering the pulpit is not speech that's used to produce truth or speak truth, but is used as speech that produce a feeling. That's a big difference. You see, we don't come here for a feeling. You understand what I'm saying? When churches begin to tell you, come, our service is exciting. Come for an experience. That's not why the disciples stayed with Jesus, no. When he had told them some hard things and most of them left, he looked in the boy, he said, will you go too? He said, because I'm waiting. Y'all leave. Get out of here. And Peter looked at the Lord. Peter said, where else can we go? Where else can we go? Peter didn't say, because you're exciting, because you tell jokes. Peter said, where else can we go? For you alone have the words of life. You got the word. You got the word. You got the word. We're not here for a feeling. We're here for a faith, for a truth. We're here for the truth of the Lord's word. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. It ain't got to be exciting. It ain't got to be exciting. You see, because feelings come and feeling go. You see, when you go out there with the devil, you don't need a feeling to fight the devil, no. By the time you leave the parking lot, the feeling gone. All right? But if you get the truth, you're going to leave here with some heavy weapons, some metal, some thing you can work with. Huh, heavy? You're going to leave here with some iron. All right? When that devil come in, you're going to say, devil, it is written. You understand what I'm saying? Not about I feel. You see? Yeah, flatterer produces a feeling. And the flatterer prophet pretends to speak to God, speak for God, but he's actually speaking for the people. True minister saints got to stay away from flattering. In 1 Thessalonians 2:5, Paul says this, for neither at any time use we flattering words. Paul said, we not acting like that. We're not going to tell you what you want to hear to get something out of you. For neither at any time we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. You see, because a lot of time, flattering the pulpit is because of covetousness in the pulpit. We're going to tell you what you want to hear so you can give what we want to get out of you. Paul said, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. We're going to give you the truth. We're going to give you the truth. And if you know the truth, amen, you're going to give if you know the truth. We ain't got to flatter you and do all that. You're going to give if you know the truth. All right? All right? Let's keep going. Listen, we got to keep moving. But you might want to write down or keep in mind 2 Timothy 4:2-4, when he tell them that a time going to come when people are not going to be able to endure sound doctrine, but it's going to raise up teachers having itching ears for themselves and stuff like that. Amen. But he tells Timothy, preach the word. You see what I'm saying? And that's where we need to be. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Listen, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing. I got some work to do. We're moving furniture in here. Flattery is used to harm others. I mean, by others, I mean third persons. And I'm going to try my best to explain this. All right? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. All right? People will flatter you to get you on their side so that you could hurt somebody else for them. All right? They might not want to hurt that person, or they can't hurt that person, but you're in a position to hurt that person. So they're going to flatter you, amen, and you will be, amen, like a puppet almost. They're going to pull the strings on you, all right, all right? And they're going to flatter you, and you're going to become part of their alliance, and they're going to use you to get to somebody that they can't naturally touch, all right? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And that's how they do that. That's how they do that. And let me tell you, Let me tell you, people that fall victim to that quickly, all right? If you have a defender personality, we got some people who are natural warriors and defenders. You got a natural justice built in you. And you don't like nobody taking advantage of other people. You're the one you like, you go for the underdog, all right? You know what I'm saying? You kind of like my big brother when they was beating me in Party Park. They tried to jump me. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm going to get down. I'm going to get down. All right? But wait. Just let me get on my bike. Because I'm going to call my brother. And we coming back. Because I know my brother is a defender. You see what I'm saying? A guardian is his heart. All right? Now, that's a good thing. Because you get me out some binds in Paul Davis Park, all right? But the bad thing is, flatterers see that too. And so they come to you weak and cowering, like a wounded animal. And there you will go to God, and what happened? Well, such and such did me so bad, and you, wait here, I'm going to get him. And you wind up fighting the wrong battles, all right? All right? And what they do is they use flattery sometimes. I wish I was as strong as you. And I could, if I would tell them if I could, but I know you could tell them. You would tell them, huh? You would, if you was, and there you go. I'm going to tell them right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. All right? Flattery is used to harm others, third parties, y'all. That's what happened in Daniel, all right? In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, amen, the princes of Babylon were jealous of Daniel. Daniel was raised up over all the princes, all the presidents and everything. There was nobody in the kingdom of Babylon but Darius, the king of the Medes and Persians, that had power over Daniel. All the rest of the king, the presidents and governors and princes, they were under Daniel. And being under Daniel, they couldn't hurt Daniel. But they flattered somebody who could touch Daniel, who could hurt Daniel. Anybody with me so far? You understand what I'm saying? It's almost like a proxy war. I can't fight you, but I'm going to fight you through somebody. Ooh, woo! All right, let's get back to it. So they couldn't do nothing with Daniel. So they go to Darius, the only person they know that can touch Daniel. Even though they didn't know that Daniel was the servant of the Most High. And listen, God said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. You think Darius can touch Daniel? Darius can't touch Daniel because there's one that sit higher than Darius and look low in governing the affairs of man. Oh, help me somebody. In Daniel 6:6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. The flattery started already. All the presidents in the kingdom and the governors and princes and counselors and captains have consulted together. There's a lot of stuff. To establish a royal statute. To make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast where? Into the lion's den. Now, y'all, let's look at the NLT. All right, I want to explain this to you. The Babylonians thought that their kings were deities, that they were gods. And the Babylonians would flatter their kings, you are a god, you are a god, you are a god. And when the governors came in, the princes, they were telling Darius, you're a god. And nobody should be praying to anybody else but you. And if we find somebody praying to anybody else but you, since you are a god and you should be the chief god, we're going to take them and throw them into the lion's den. Now, just imagine Darius sitting there and they telling Darius, and he don't know the word, that he a god. Darius like, yeah, I guess I am. And through flattery, he signs the decree. But Daniel is a man of God. And he prayed 3 times a day. And you know he going to pray, amen, even though the decree is signed, all right? You know what I'm saying? Look at the NLT. I got it underlined. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. You see it there coming out the NLT a little bit clearer? It was flattery. And it was used for them to take Daniel, for Darius to touch Daniel and throw Daniel in the lion's den. But thank God that God shut the mouth of lions. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. People are using you to hurt somebody else. You got to be deep. You got to be discerning. You can't be simple. You can't be naive. You got to really think and look well into your ways. Why am I going to fight this battle? Is this really what I feel? Or is this really what they feel just being projected upon me? Is that making sense a little bit? All right. Now, big brother, that's for everybody except me and you. All right. We get into it in part A with Park. You got comfort, little brother. All right. All right.
Hallelujah.
All right. I'm just playing, man. I'm just playing. Don't fight for me if I'm wrong. All right. But if I'm right, we're going. All right. So listen, number six. Flattery is also used by the sexually immoral. So it's people that want to go to war through proxy through you, but it's also those that want to have some immoral intimacy with you. They're going to use flattery, you know? Girl, you must be tired. You've been running through my mind all day. Girl, you're so fine, I drink your bath water, girl. I just... Y'all done heard it. Some of y'all ladies, y'all done heard it. Y'all need to write them thing down for me so I can bring that up here and say them lines. You know? But it's all flattery. Now, remember what flattery is. It's a compliment for ulterior motives. They really want something from you. All right? Now, this applies to both men and women because both men and women want something from men and women. Yeah. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! Proverbs 6:24 talk about flattery. And it tells us, amen, that wisdom and the law and the commandments will keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And I'm telling you, we can put some men in that too, all right? Because them boys got some strange tongues and strange flattery as well. You see what I'm saying? They are seducers. And they're going to tell you whatever you want to hear so they can get from you what they want. Some of them, ladies, some of the men that's out there that's going to tell you these flattering compliments, all they want is your body for a moment. And here you are, you got a husband at home, amen. And I'm praying that your husband compliments you, encourage you like he's supposed to, all right? And that's why we're going to be real with a man of God. Get your head out the clouds, man, and look upon that woman and talk about that woman, her nails, her hair, her eyelashes, her feet. You find something pretty on a girl. The hair on your legs, so nice. You better find something. Because if you don't compliment her, somebody will. And she's going to have this complimenting void, hungry, starving for affection that you're supposed to be giving. All right? Come on, man. Wake up, man. You know? Now, woman of God, I'm going to be real with you. Just because he ain't giving it don't mean you got to go someplace else and get it now. All right? You check him and tell him, look, you ain't told me nothing nice in 5 years, 3 months, and 6 days. And I'm drowning here. Say something. You see? Because the flatterers will. They're going to tell her she look good, man. You know? And woman of God, you can't let the flatterer do that. I done heard some atrocious situations, yo. You know, of them adulterers, the men that's out there. Just using and abusing married women, man. For a few little compliments, cheap compliments. You know? And the same thing with the men. The women will do it with the men. With the men, you know, sometimes women want the bodies, not too often. You know what I'm saying? Let's just keep it real, not too often. Women not like that, all right? But they gonna like the prestige, the fame, the l'argent. But y'all call it security, the security, all right? But it's all for ulterior motive. Don't let them flatter you, man. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Are we going too deep or it's all right? All right, give me a little bit more and then we're going to get on. Hallelujah. You also, listen, before we move on from that, you gotta watch your children and prepare them for flatterers as well. Because them little boys get them little girls on the phone, which you should not let them talk on the phone. You know what I'm saying? All early like that, they got their own phone, they talking to boys and stuff. You don't awaken love or lust before the time, all right? Now, some of y'all, it's too late. Y'all been talking, they've been talking, and if you go home, try to take it away, it's going to be World War III. You got to come in for private counseling for that, all right? But for the young ones, you don't want to awaken that, because them little boys get on there and they tell them everything, man. And it's all for an ulterior motive. All right, let me talk about, listen, God will punish flatterers. God don't like flattering. He really doesn't. He's an encourager, but he's not a flatterer. God don't ever tell us something that's not true. There's no lie in God. It's nothing but truth in God. If he's going to encourage us, it's going to be truthful encouragement. And God don't have no ulterior motives. Amen? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If he was hungry, he wouldn't tell us. You understand what I'm saying? He ain't got no ulterior motives. All right? And so he don't like flatterers. Flattery is satanic, y'all. It's demonic because it's based on deception. And we know who the father of lies is, the devil. Satan is the father of lies. That's why it's demonic, all right? In fact, when you do an in-depth study of the Antichrist, amen, and how he's going to build his kingdom, the Antichrist is going to come and build his kingdom straight through flattery. Not even through conquering and war and conquest, straight through flattery. That's how the devil is. That's how the devil is. He's a flatterer, you know, if thou be the Son of God. He's a flatterer, man. That's how he operate. And so God don't like that in us, so he deals with it. In Psalm 12:3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. God going to deal with that. I need you to reflect on the end of Daniel's story, all right? The flatterers get Darius to throw him in the den of lions, amen, the lion's den. Amen. But that's not the end of the story. Some of y'all that know your Bibles know the end of the story. Darius come out because he don't really have beef against Daniel, but he just doing something through proxy. They just doing that through Darius. So he come to the lines. Then he said, Daniel, did your God, was he able to keep you during the night? Was he able to save you? And Darius said, oh, king, live forever. My God was able to save me. I'm in the lion den, but the Lord done sent his angel to shut the mouth of lions. And so Darius said, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Well, gather up all those who made me sign this decree. Gather up them, their wives, and their children. And we're going to throw them in the lion's den and see what's going to happen to them. Because the God of Daniel is a real God. And the Bible said them lions was crunching them bones. I'm talking about, listen, y'all know how some of y'all eat them bones to powder when y'all... Some of y'all eat them bones. I'd be like, man, we got to carbon date this. You fossilized it. You didn't eat it. You fossilized it. Okay, come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on, y'all. All right? So that's what God's going to do to flatterers. You can check out Haman and how Haman was a flatterer to King Ahasuerus. And the end of that story, he hung on the gallows. And so there's a bunch of scriptures, amen, Job 17:5, Job 32:21, but we got to keep going. We got to keep going. God is going to raise up a day in Ezekiel when he even tells us that there will be no longer false prophets who have flattering visions and divination. God, he's in the business of removing all that from his people. You see, he's going to judge it. Amen. All right, let me give you this one. Signs of flattery. All right. Y'all came for a full lesson tonight, huh? Come on now. Let's just get it, man. Mike, I couldn't stop studying on it, Mike. Listen, signs of flattery, because you want to know when somebody flattering you, all right? And let me tell you, this was convicting for me, because I'm an encourager, and I love to compliment people, amen, but it's a fine line, and I had to watch myself. I say, man, am I flattering folk? Because I want to build folk up, you know? I think I just complimented Brian just the other day, and I was talking to Brian. I was like, man, and so I had to go back and think, was I trying to get something out of Brian? No, I wasn't trying to get nothing out of Brian. You know what I'm saying? I was encouraging Brian. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how we got to examine ourselves. Let's talk about the signs of flattery right quick, all right? You can know when somebody's flattering you when the compliments are not true, all right? Girl, your hair's so good. You got that Indian hair. And you know that you can't pull a comb through that with a tow truck and a bottle of Crisco. You see, then you just know that that's not true. You see, you the best at this, best at that. It's not true. So ding, 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 ding. Flattery. All right. Number two. Let's move fast. Number two. What's flattery? Okay. Favor. A favor is tied to the compliment. Oh, yeah, girl, your hair is such. You think I can come to the beauty parlor with you and you can pay for my hair, too? Did you just tell me that so that I could bring you that? A favor is tied to the compliment. Or an alliance is associated with it. Us and them. You see? Let me give you another one. Hallelujah. That is, they want you on their side. Amen. That's the alliance. D. Inappropriate. The compliment is inappropriate, meaning that, you know what I'm saying, they wouldn't tell you that if your husband was around or your wife wasn't around. It's a sign of flattery. They'll use superlatives: best, smartest, strongest, most anointed, this. All right? I got to keep moving. Yeah, y'all. Y'all writing, but I got to keep moving. Y'all going to have to get the CD, man. All right? Come on, let me give you another. How to respond to flattery. How to respond to it, Pastor. What happens when somebody responds, when somebody flatter me? You know? Man, you better than LeBron on that court. Man, why I'm not making no LeBron money? And why? So the first way to respond to flattery of any kind is just to tell them that it's not true. And you could just do it like, man, you know that ain't true, man. Come on, man. All right? Second way is when they flatter you, amen, and they come down and they tell you, oh, John Mark, you just taught the best lesson, your exegetical skills and everything else. And you know what you do? You glory to God. And that's the way to handle flattery. You're like, you don't even receive it. You're like, glory to God. Praise him. If he wouldn't have gave me nothing to say, I wouldn't have had nothing at all to bring up. All right? How to handle flattery? This is the extreme cases. Tell them to stop. You look at me now, you say, look, man, last time I was with you, you swole my head up so big. I got fired from both my jobs, and I got kicked off the worship team. So can you just stop flattering me? It's killing me, man. All right? And so that's sometimes what you got to do. You just, like, look, you're blowing my head up, dog. You know? So you got to tell them to stop. All right. Here's the last thing, and then we're going to get out of here. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Come on. Let's give God some glory. Y'all still up? Y'all still up? Let me talk to you about the worst type of flattery before we leave. It's something that they call self-flattery. When you don't need nobody to flatter you, but you're going to flatter yourself. Boy, that's a piece of work, huh? You're going to flatter yourself. Make yourself think that you're more than what you are. Make yourself think that you're all that. All right? That's pride straight from the pit of hell. And we got to watch that in ourselves. you know? And all we got to do is open our Bible when we get into self-flattery and read about what the Lord say about us. All we got to do is review, amen, the things that the Lord had to forgive. Or review our lives before we had the Lord. But there's a self-flattery that's in some people that's so bad that they think that they don't need the Lord. They think that they're righteous. They think that they're holy. They think that they're good. And when we talk about salvation, amen, they think they're already in because they're good people. They done flattered themselves so much to where they think they're in there without a Savior. I love what the Bible tells us, amen, in the NLT, in Psalm 36, 2. Look what it says. In their blind conceit, the King James say, in their flattery, they cannot see how wicked they really are. I wonder if there's somebody in here who's what we call self-righteous. You can't see that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can't see that you've broken almost every commandment there is. The lying, the lusting, the sexual immorality. But yet and still when we ask you, how would you get to heaven? You say, I'm going to get there. I'm a good person. I'm not bad like the rest of them. What you don't understand is that the wages of sin, one sin, is death. And that we're not saved by our works, but we're saved by God's grace. Him dying on the cross for us. The gospel is the cure for self-flattery, y'all. We admit we sinners. We believe in Jesus Christ, him dying on the cross, him being buried in a grave, him rising up on the third day, and we confess it. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me, a sinner, Lord. You see, I believe flattery is going to keep some people out of heaven, and it's going to drag some people straight to hell. I don't know who you are tonight, but don't let your heart deceive you. You're not that good. You're not that special. We all need a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Woo! Hallelujah. We're going to pray the sinner's prayer, and we're going to get out of here. And if you're here tonight, amen, and something you heard tonight bless you, and you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, just pray with me. Say, Lord, thank you for telling me the truth. I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you love me, that you died for me on the cross, that you rose on the third day, and that you're coming back. Lord, save me, a sinner. I need you. And I can't do it without you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! If you stand to your feet, we're going to dismiss, do our benediction, and come on, get out of here. What's up, man?